Good morning, Linda. Good morning, everybody. I want to thank Dave and Paul for preparing us today, guiding us so well in worship. Dave, thank you for that extra song of praise. We are learning from our experience. I'll come back to that. I want to especially welcome every visitor, every person online this morning. We are so glad each of you are here. Let's begin today in prayer. God, I praise and thank you for caring about the people and these moments here today. Keep opening our eyes to you. May our words and our actions be pleasing to you. Use this time as you desire, through Christ. Amen. I want us to begin today by thinking about the word deny for a minute. Our church league basketball is starting up soon. A blocked shot is one kind of denial. A credit card rejection is another kind of denial. And whether or not our savings at the bank or maybe under the mattress or in a piggy bank, whether or not they are ever enough, and whether or not our athletic skills and we are ever enough, most of us know what it's like to feel rejected, even at times by a friend, someone we trusted. And that may help us relate to Jesus today. The Apostle Peter takes the heat for denying Jesus three times. But really, think about this. All the disciples denied Jesus. Judas is obvious. He betrayed Jesus to the authorities. But think about how the other 10 disciples also betrayed Jesus on that last night in the garden. They fled. Denying Jesus. If they had believed Jesus was who he said he was, they could have stayed. If they had believed that Jesus knew what was happening and that something good was going to come out of all of this, out of his suffering, well, they could have persevered. And we do this too. We let our fears get bigger than God who created the cosmos. Peter, trying to warm himself by the fire and being questioned, said, "I don't know him." Denial with his words. The other disciples denied Jesus with their actions. And our invitation today that we've been singing about is to let God grow our faith. We want to let God grow our faith in Jesus and in his promises. So we're reopening this series today. We had a question recently for Testimony Sunday that was, if the last 3 years of your life were a chapter in a book, what would the title of that chapter be? For myself, the chapter title would be Integration. I have been learning how to integrate my past into my present and my present into my future and what I believe into how I live. What if we were to do that with the Promises of Jesus series that we're reopening today? Jesus promises, "I am with you." Jesus promises, "I have overcome the world. I forgive you." Because I am more integrated, I have more peace and more joy. And I want that for us. And actually, that's what happened for the disciples too. When Jesus appeared to them after his resurrection, Jesus says, "Peace be with you." And it says the disciples were overjoyed when they saw Jesus. Remember what we prayed at the very beginning, for God to keep opening our eyes. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw Jesus. 2 weeks ago, when I preached on this passage, I planned to include this idea of God opening our eyes to Jesus, to God. But I took it out at the last minute, and I later regretted it. So today I want to tell you this story. Recently, the Congregational Leadership Team, the CLT, we were meeting on Zoom because of one of the snows. And so, you know, it's like a Brady Bunch moment. You can see everybody's faces all at the same time. And the CLT was working on discerning who to invite to serve, or better, because of our title today or our theme today, who God was sending to be part of a team that will define what we mean by Zion's values, giving language to our values for community or faith and spirituality. And this is preliminary work. We hope to bring this all to the congregation in the fall for everybody to get a chance to share reflections into. So we're discerning Zion's values, and we want to be more clear about what those values mean for us at Zion to help us guide our decision making. So we're working on this team to pull this team together, and Patty Bear, as chair of the CLT, asked me to lead this part of the meeting. And so I said, okay, well, we're going to discern this like the gifts and appointments does their discernment, because it's worked so well for that group. And then I described how I would pray, and then we'd have a little bit of time for silence, for everyone to just notice who came to mind. Now, we were all online, but I could just imagine everybody else on the Zoom cringing at how long this might take. Like, this is going to take forever, somebody might have thought. So I prayed for God to guide our thinking. We had a brief time of silence. And then I invited people to share whose names came to mind, and I'll make up some names. One person said, I thought of Susie and John. And another person said, well, I also thought of Susie and John. And somebody else said, well, I thought of Susie and Lucy. And somebody else said, well, I thought of Lucy and John. The same three people's names kept coming up over and over. And don't quote me on those details, but what I remember it's a Brady Bunch moment. I could see everybody's faces. What I remember is everybody's eyes as wide as saucers that God could do this for us. Our eyes were opened in new ways at what God could do. So let me try to tie these threads together about Jesus' disciples denying him and God wanting to grow our faith and Zion's eyes being opened. What does all that have to do with being people who are sent by God? Well, the disciples moved from denying Jesus to being overjoyed, and we get to do this too. Think about the criteria for the disciples to be sent by Jesus. Did they have great faith? No. Do they have great understanding? No. Did they live perfectly? Well, of course not. None of those were criteria for Jesus sending the disciples then, and by extension, us now. The criteria is Jesus. And that's great news. See, here's the heart of it. Our being sent has far less to do with us than what we think it does. Sometimes, at least for me, my ego will get in the way. And just because we are sent does not mean we are the message. We are more like the envelope. Envelopes come in all shapes and sizes. I don't have enough representation of that, but you get the idea. We come with all our different experiences and knowledge, and God uses that. And it's why Jesus sent the disciples out as a body. Jesus wasn't only speaking to James and Andrew. He sent the entire group in all their directions. So whether or not we've had some dramatic call story or not, all of us too, by extension, are sent. See, sometimes when I get up here to preach, it's too easy for my ego to get involved, and I can feel too much pressure when I think this sermon depends on me. That would be denying Jesus. It does not. If I've done my work and my study, this sermon depends on God. Sometimes we get so lost in all that is wrong in this world, and I get that. And yet we close our eyes to Jesus. We are not the message. We are the messengers. We are not the good news. Jesus is. And if we seek to be people who carry the good news to others, let's live the good news in our lives and in our joy, even amid difficult circumstances. Our being sent has more to do with who God is than who we are. So I wonder if you remember back in Exodus, do you remember the name that God uses for who God is? Moses, like Peter, saw a fire that caught his attention. And Moses, in a sense, also moved from denial to being sent. And he's staring at this bush that doesn't burn up. And I've been so excited to show this to you. Aaron made a couple of slides for us so that you can see this with your own two eyes. Let's start at verse 7 so that you get all the connections from the context. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down. Does that remind you of Jesus, I hope? I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Well, let's pause right there and integrate this. Oh, and I've not been advancing the slides. I'm so sorry. Let's see if we can catch up. All right, Neil, if you can help me, that would be great. And if it's stuck, that's okay too. We'll let it be. Let's integrate this thought of Moses saying, who am I? It may sound humble. Maybe it's humility. Maybe it's insecurity or fear. We do this too. We ask the wrong question. Because there is a sense where it does not matter who we are. God uses every kind of envelope, even if one of them has creases or is ripped. God uses us. Not because the envelope is from the right zip code. What matters is the message we carry inside. Moses says, who am I? A better question is, who is God? I'm going to tell a story that happened yesterday at the Virginia Mennonite Conference Winter Delegate Session about my eyes being opened about what God can do. One of the circumstances that we talked about was how financially, Virginia Mennonite Conference, there's some pressure financially. And don't quote me on this, I'll try to get my details right. Dave, you can correct me later. First of all, I want to name that Conference Council had already, as leaders, committed to pledge their own amount. I think it was $7,000 from Conference Council that they gave to VMC in a short time. And then the invitation came to us as delegates. Maybe 60 of us there and on Zoom, what could we give? Every little bit matters. And so people filled out our pledge cards and gave right then. There were QR codes. Many of us gave. They said 10,000 would be wonderful. And there was a match for 10,000 if that much came in. I think the number that came in was 10,300 or 10,031, something like that. So 20,000 came in for VMC in half an hour. That opened my eyes to what God can do. We've got to go on. Verse 12, and God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have, what? somebody? Sent. I have sent you. Our God likes to send people. I invite this to be our mindset that Paul talked about, that whether we ever go to Africa or DC or wherever, our eyes are opened for the moments here and now to live sent. God promises to Moses that he is sent and then says, I will be with you. Who am I matters less than who is God. Here's the sign for Moses. When you have brought your people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And verse 13, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what's his name? Then what shall I tell them? Here's our verse telling us who God is. Verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Now let's look to our key verse for today, the last four words of verse 21. I am sending you. I am sending you. Jesus sounds like his father. As people sent by God, it matters more who God is than we are. God is the I am. He didn't say I was. He didn't say I will be. He says I am. God is the one who shows up in the garden in front of the tomb where his dead body was guarded and yet could not be contained. God is the one who calls us by name and says, I have a message for you and that I want you to tell others through your words and through your actions. New life is here. I am. So for every person here and online and watching the recording, trying to understand the point and purpose of our lives, working hard to nail down who God is calling you to be, the question is not, who am I? The question is, who is God? God is far bigger and wiser and more powerful than we have even imagined, than what we have seen. Many years ago, I taught a class to first-year college students to help students acclimate to college life. And that whole semester, I think I only asked two questions that were of matter to them. One of them I'll share with you today. That question is, what would you do if you knew you could not fail? A better question for us today, what would we do? Where would we let God send us if we knew the I am? If we knew the I am's purposes would be fulfilled. God who began a good work in us is faithful to complete it. How might our words and our actions be different because we stop denying what Jesus is able to do? And listen, I am right here with you. The last time I tried to preach this passage, I was facing what may have been spiritual warfare that got me too focused on who I am instead of my message about the great I am. And it's okay. God worked through it anyway. Several of you told me that you appreciated specific things about the message, and I'm glad for that. I got home, and I thought about all the things I could have done differently. I thought about that it may have been a spiritual battle, and I realized I could have invited us to sing an extra song of praise right before the sermon. And so when Irvin Stutzman, a former pastor here, couldn't preach today because he's been having trouble speaking, thanks be to God, he's now improving. Originally, I hadn't wanted to preach today because my youngest just turned 18 in about 30 seconds from now. And I wanted her to know that even though I'm a pastor, she comes first. And I haven't always gotten that right. But for every person here wondering about the unknowns of the future and whether we have lived well enough or done enough, wondering whether we will be accepted or denied after all, the question is not, who are we? The question is, who is God? The Bible does not tell us as much as I wish about what comes after this life. It does tell us the kind of God who is with us. It does tell us that Jesus triumphed over death. So let God's love and faithfulness be written on the tablet of our hearts. We have a message, both words and behavior, that Jesus lives. What I'm most excited about is that we get to be part of something far beyond ourselves. Today, Ian and Amarissa will be at the door, and they will give an envelope to everyone. And inside the envelope are the I am statements of Jesus, many of which are pictured around the room in the stained glass windows. Our challenge is to carry these around until we no longer need the envelope, until we remember we have good news to share. I am amazed at what God has been doing through us, Zion. You have done so well. I want to especially credit Zion's leaders over the last many years who have stepped up with generosity and humility because we love Jesus and we love one another and we love the world. Keep going. Because if we do, it may not be just our eyes widening at what God can do. God's good news might just continue to spread. Thanks be to God, the I Am. Amen.